Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we are that people dashboard that was built specifically for all you HR and people leaders at small and medium companies. That's right. We know you probably have a lean HR team and you weren't able to get a dedicated person to handle HR reporting and analytics. So guess who does it? You. That too. And a lot of the times it's a painful, manual, stressful process of you pulling data from all your different HR systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement, and performance. And that's just the beginning. You may have three or four more systems than that. It drives you crazy. Well, look no further because that's why we built this people dashboard that has pre-built integrated connectors to all of your favorite systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Sapling, Zenefits, 15.5, Office5, Glassdoor to be able to easily connect and bring all your data into one people dashboard so you and your company can view, track, share, and analyze all your people data in one place. Please go to employeecycle.com, sign up for a free trial if you just want to check it out or give it a spin yourself, or you can actually sign up for a demo, and I would love to talk to you about it. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Robert Whitehouse, VP of People and Talent of North America at MIQ Digital. And today we're going to discuss how to keep employees connected to the purpose of your business during remote work. Robert, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Robert! Welcome! The crowd goes wild.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. I'm glad to be here. It's quite a welcome.
Thank you for taking out the time to do this. You know, every HR leader in our eyes is a superhero, so you deserve that type of applause.
Thank you. That is greatly appreciated.
Of course, of course. So, Robert, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
It's a great question. I would say the way that I ended up here is I left my undergraduate studies with a psychology degree and knew that I didn't want to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And I went off and to work in retail roles and different roles in law firms, etc., and quickly realized that what I appreciated most was interactions with people. No surprise, the psychology degree coming sort of back around full circle. But found that I wanted to integrate the business part of work with the people part of work. And HR really was the place that really fit the bill. And I started really in the learning and development space before broadening out into other skill sets as well. But, you know, it was really this drive to help people achieve their fullest potential while at work, where we spend a ton of time every day. And that's how I ended up in the role that I'm in and in this field.
Got it. So today's topic is around keeping employees connected to the purpose of the business, especially during remote work, which has its own unique challenges. But before we dig into that, I would first like you to define what is the purpose of a business that connects to an employee in general? Is that the culture? Is that the mission? Is that the vision? How would you define the purpose?
You know, I think it's organizing principles in some way. So Warner Burke, a professor at Columbia, once said that culture is how we do things here. And I think that really is how people view the purpose of an organization at the end of the day. They ultimately say, what are the practices and what are the things that we believe in and how do we go about doing our work at this business? So it's things like, what does your performance management process look like? What kind of learning and development is available? Do we even offer learning and development? Those are the types of questions I think that employees start to think about. You know, what is the purpose of coming to work beyond getting my paycheck?
Interesting. So when you think about this purpose that you're talking about of being connected to the business, it's not the purpose of why the business exists, but it's more about the purpose of why the employee should work at that company.
Yeah, very well put. I think, you know, there's always you know, there are mission-driven organizations, and that's where your reason for going to work aligns with the business's reason to exist, right? Those organizations exist, but I think in places, you know, like the organization I work for, where it's really about programmatic media, digital analytics, et cetera, you know, how do, at the end of the day, how do you make that mission driven, right? I think that's a real challenge. Our mission is to be the best programmatic media partner, but I don't know that that necessarily resonates with people as something that they are personally driven and attached to. So I do think of the purpose is like, what is the value add for me as an individual? What, how does my going to work serve a purpose in my life that goes beyond just getting a paycheck?
Got it. So now that we've fully understood that, this is really about why the hell am I getting up, getting dressed, well, maybe getting half dressed for Zoom now, and showing up to work for this company when I could be doing anything else with myself.
Precisely, precisely. I think in the work from home era, answering that question becomes even more important.
So let's dig into that. Now that we know this purpose is really about designing and communicating this framework of letting people know why it's important to come to work and showing why they're important, how is that now different when most, if not all, employees are working remotely, specifically in industries where you don't have to show up in person?
I think that what has changed would be the connectivity piece. So when you are going to an office every day and seeing colleagues that you've developed personal relationships with, and you're working literally side by side to solve business challenges, you know, there is that internal intrinsic motivation around problem solving and just being a social being that meets some of your needs and really drives you to say, I want to keep succeeding. And then, you know, maybe you have a fantastic office space, or there are great benefits that are provided to you being in the office, be that snacks or whatever floats your boat. At the end of the day, when those things are removed and now you're just in your living room or your home office, et cetera, the question of like, why this company and why am I going to keep showing up and putting on at least the top half of my clothes, to your point, for my Zoom calls? Like, why am I doing this? And so what has changed is that connectivity that breeds the connection to the organization. So connectivity socially, the, you know, seeing the logo on a regular basis, all these small things that when you add up, when they are absent, do you feel as connected to your colleagues? Do you feel as connected to your organization? I think that is the real challenge.
Interesting. So to make this as actionable as possible for our audience, let's first talk about step one, which I assume would be, if you want to communicate the purpose of the business, or rather communicate why it's important for people to come to work and show up for your specific company, I'm imagining that the first step would be to somehow measure and gauge how connected people are to the purpose already, before you try to change anything, correct?
For sure, for sure. I mean, you have to have a baseline level of engagement. And, you know, one thing I want to clarify is that it's important for people to understand why they need to show up. I mean, everybody needs to show up and be engaged and be effective, but for their own interest as well. Like, what is the value add for them to joining the business? So it's not just the one-sided, the business needs you to show up, but it's also for them to understand, what's the value of me showing up as an individual? And I think both get served by understanding how do people connect. And in our company, we have a semi-annual. So it's every June, July, and every December, January engagement survey. And one of the questions is around, you know, I understand how my work contributes to the company's goals, and how my work contributes to the company's purpose. To get a sense of, do people feel any connection to our work?
Because we are a people dashboard company and we're always trying to help connect the dots when it comes to data, I do want to ask this indirect question. Is that a leading indicator for turnover potentially when people don't know or feel that their work is connected to the overall purpose of the business?
It's most definitely a leading indicator, you know, among others. But that is one of the ones that, you know, we ask that question, as well as I rarely think about looking for a job at another company. Typically, those two travel together. We find that if people do not feel a connection to the business, oftentimes they will score low on looking for another job as well, which we call intent to stay. So, you know, correlation is not causation, but they tend to travel together.
Got it. So now that you are using some type of engagement survey or some mechanism to understand what your current baseline is for employee connectedness to the business and overall purpose, what would you say is the next step for anyone who wants to truly understand what the current status of this connectedness is between the employees and the workforce, and how they can make sure that they can increase that and keep it going and maintain it through remote work?
Well, I think, you know, appropriate for this podcast is you need to look at your data as a step two. So you have those two questions, which give you some baseline information, but then splitting it out departmentally and asking yourself, okay, if the HR department, for example, scores high on both of those, so they rarely look for a job at another company and they feel very clear on how their work contributes to the business, how is their performance in general? If you ask them questions about their connectivity, what are their responses versus a department maybe that is far less rated high in those questions? So splitting it out and taking a look at the data to understand what are the actual consequences of that lesser connectivity or that more connectivity. How do we replicate what's good? How do we minimize what isn't? Because I think the risk, if you don't take that second step, is that you rush off into what you think is going to fix the problem without having an understanding of what are the real consequences of that lack of connectivity. Is it just they don't feel great? Or is there actually work quality issues? Is there timeliness issues? Those are the things you have to look at to understand really the issues that you're facing.
Got it. So now that I've drilled down to understand the specific issues that we're having to connect our employees to the purpose, and we've drilled down a layer down to understand where these issues are specifically happening, maybe it's a location or a specific department, what should I do next?
I think then it's about doing some, you know, one-on-one interviews here and there to get a sense of what people feel would draw them back into the business. So again, not just assuming as the, you know, HR people team gods that you know the answer to all of these questions, but really getting people's voices in the mix around what would make you feel more connected? What would bring you back into the fold, so to speak, if you're feeling a little bit outside? And using that to start informing the planning stages. So simple things, you know, we've had an example of people saying, the thing that I miss the most is the ability to do the water cooler chat at the beginning or the end of the day, or a piece of news comes out and we're able to have a real-time quick conversation about that, or the laughter and fun of some social events that we do. So then using that to say, okay, so how do we replicate that experience virtually in some capacity? How do we create a virtual water cooler, or how do we have an event? So recently, we used that information to do a Family Feud style virtual happy hour, where there were teams, the commercial teams versus the non-commercial teams. The audience was everybody on the Zoom, and then we had the two teams and they played. And, you know, people said, I felt reconnected in a way. So you really have to talk to people as that next step to inform your plans and get specifics beyond just, you know, the general topics. It's digging a layer deeper, constantly trying to find more information to inform.
So in the same vein of digging deeper to understand the data, I'm assuming, unless you're looking at the potential employee issues categorically, that you could actually get a lot of very personalized and custom issues on an employee basis. So I'm curious, for the HR leaders listening, if they did this survey, drilled down, and let's say they have a couple hundred employees, and they ended up with 150 different reasons for why employees didn't feel as connected to the business, how do you pull those together or prioritize any one of them without alienating people in their personalized needs. So I guess what I'm asking is, how do you go about trying to personalize this process and this strategy, but also knowing that you have limited resources, do something that you believe will provide the biggest ROI across the entire org?
I think that is the challenge facing every HR leader right now is, you know, if you can't solve it for everyone, how do you choose what to solve for? I think some of it goes back to that second or first step we discussed, which is really trying to make sense of that, you know, what are the consequences of the disconnect? And that may be a tool to say, okay, if there are 150 different reasons, the individuals or departments who list this as a reason, do they underperform or outperform their peers? Okay, so maybe that one can move lower down the list if they're overperforming. But what about this group? This group identifies, let's say, the water cooler again, the lack of the water cooler hour as an issue, but their performance is much lower than that of other departments or teams or even individuals. Let's move that up the list as a priority. I think the ultimate role is you do have to choose and stick to something, and working with one's executive team, et cetera, to make that choice. But I think ultimately you will always find some through lines in many of the issues. So whether it's water cooler or news discussions or happy hours that were just, you know, casual happy hours after work, that kind of thing. The through line of all of that is social connectivity, right? And so you can make choices about social connectivity as a topic that it may not meet everyone's exact individual need, but meets enough of the needs, if that makes sense.
It does. And when it comes to getting buy-in to provide resources, time, and efforts towards putting these things together, how would you recommend your fellow HR and people leaders to put together this strategy so that they can get the backing and the support they need to make these happen? We know that historically HR has had a tough challenge of getting budget for anything and always having to make a stronger use case than what it seems like for other departments. So what does that look like to actually make sure that this can happen?
Well, I think one of the things that I've observed in my career is that, you know, HR sometimes uses glittering generalities, is what I call them, right? So they're like, our people are unhappy about connectivity. Sounds very serious. And, you know, perhaps to a CEO or a CFO, they're like, oh, that's bad. But then when they start to ask you questions about like, well, how do you know? And what is the consequence or the outcome of that issue? Sometimes HR fails to provide the data to back it up. So I really do think that, you know, to build the business case, you have to be able to point to real world costs. Sometimes they're emotional costs, but still having data to back that up. So anecdotal comments from your engagement survey or from one-on-one interviews you've done with people, and then tying that to the larger financial performance of the business or a particular leg of the business or silo of the business. You know, how are they performing? And this group in particular is less engaged than that group. And being able to make an argument based on data allows people in the C-suite and who are maybe more numbers oriented to really start to see the connection in a real way rather than that glittering generality way.
You all heard it first, and not from me, but from Robert. You have to use the data. And so, Robert, we want to end this off with a question that I have in regards to, what do you want everyone who is listening to this to remember? If they can only remember one thing and they're struggling with this issue of trying to connect their employees with the purpose of the business, what's that one thing you want them to take away from this interview?
I would say the one thing is don't underestimate the cost in real output and to your culture of people not feeling connected to your business. That would be the takeaway. Like, don't underestimate that, and trust your instincts would be a second. Trust your instincts. If you feel it, it's probably true. Go look for the data that can help support that and give you clarity to what you're sensing.
Great answer and great interview. Robert, thanks for being such an awesome podcast guest, for showing up and sharing all your wisdom and experience around this topic, and really helping so many HR and people leaders who will be listening to this and learning, since they're going through the exact same experience. So thanks so much for being on the Employee Cycle Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So
thank you again for having me.
Oh yeah, of course, of course. And so where can people find you and MIQ Digital online?
So you can visit our website at wearemiq.com, or you can look me up on LinkedIn at Robert Whitehouse.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to include all your contact information and websites in the show notes. So everyone out there listening to this interview, if you enjoyed it as much as Robert and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Google Reviews, or wherever else you want to leave us a review. Also, if this is the very first time that you've listened to our podcast and you came here because you're already a super fan of Robert and just had to hear what he was going to say, or you thought that this topic was compelling and now you're hungry for more interviews, well, please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.